This is Mindy McNeil, and I am in studio for our monthly beer, wine, and food pairing. This month we have wine because Carolyn brought a lovely red, and it's pairing with a nice duck confit that Chow Catering brought to us. Thank you, Eric Olson, for being here today.
You're welcome.
Yes, so Carolyn, you dove in. So you're going to start talking first. You're going to get a little bit, but I do want to find out from you, Eric. This is duck confit, and you told me before, but if you could just recap for our listeners what exactly this dish is. Everything that we've got some couscous going on.
Yep. So we've got a classic preparation of duck confit, which is a duck leg that's been cured and then cooked in its own fat for about 12 hours. We've got an Israeli couscous with saffron, olives, and pomegranate seeds. And then we've also got a little roasted carrot puree and feta cheese. And it pairs really well with this gamay and, what is it, gamay and Merlot?
Chardonnay is the area, where it's grown. And this is a pretty unique wine because generally when we think of Chardonnay, we think of white wine. This is a Rouge, and it is 60% Gamay, 35% Pinot, and 5% Malbec, which is really unusual. Like, when you think of cool weather, you don't necessarily connotate that with Malbec.
When you sent it, because you sent the, this is what we're going to be featuring this month for the wine, I was like, Gamay. And I'm like, okay, I always want to ask questions, but I'm like, okay, I want to get them so that they go on air. So we can talk about that. What is Gamay? Is that the region?
Yeah. No. So in France, everything is by region. And then region sort of dictates what grapes are in it. And so if you're not really familiar with the region, you might not know what grapes are in it. Gamay is generally associated with Beaujolais, and that's a smaller area of Burgundy. And you may have heard of Beaujolais Nouveau. That's one wine that comes out. It's the first wine of the harvest, and it always comes out the third Thursday in November.
Okay.
So I thought this was a great grape to have because you got a little bit of the Beaujolais, which, you know, Beaujolais Nouveau in November. And then Pinot Noir, which we always often have with Thanksgiving meal. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was super versatile and fresh and lively. I tasted this and I loved it. And I was like, I can't wait to feature this as a wine. And I have to give you kudos. We're running this a little bit different this month because usually people pick the food and then I pick the wine.
I
was like, well, let's turn the tables a little bit here because generally, when people are going out, they're picking what they're going to drink first.
Right.
And then they're picking their food. So I thought, well, this also gives us an opportunity, or me an opportunity, and listeners to learn about like a really wide variety of wines, because sometimes there seems to be a theme. And we haven't had duck or couscous or any really classic French dishes in a long time. So
sure.
I hope that we can continue this sort of me picking the wine and then the restaurants figuring out a food, and I think you did a great job.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I was going to ask too, how was that? Because this is a different spin, because it is normally we're like, okay, Eric, what are you bringing? So Carolyn compares. So this month it is, she brought the wine and or selected the wine first, and then you had to plan a menu around that. How was that for you?
So yesterday, I planned this yesterday. I actually ran into Carolyn walking out of her store, out of Joy Liquors, and said, oh, I was coming to see you. I want to see the bottle of wine. Or buy it and drink it tonight, and then come up with a menu, and it worked out great. And this was all sort of stuff that I already had on hand, so it wasn't a big push to to cook duck legs overnight and things like that. So it kind of worked out well.
So then this brings up a whole other question, because we've got a French wine here. We're going here, and then you're like, you're planning this at the last minute, so to speak. I mean, this is amazing because you're coming up with this right off of the top of the head.
Yeah.
So when you plan meals for your catering company, I mean, is this something, I contact you, okay, I need you to cater my bar mitzvah, I need you to do my wedding, I've got a shower coming up, I give you a short amount of time, are you sometimes just able
A lot of the catering that I do actually comes around, just a week or two in advance instead of 3 months or 6 months. So we do, and I do a lot of dinner parties that are last minute, like I've got one on Friday that I just found out about last night. So while I was planning this, and I'm going to serve this
at
dinner party and it's a wine paired for 10 people. And so I'm going to put that together, and they just come together quickly.
Okay, and then I'm looking because, well, and you know, as our listeners, you'll be seeing this on the website. Beautiful. It's just beautiful coloring, everything else. But I was looking, I'm like, oh, that's the tiniest little corn. And then you said couscous. So how, I mean, because it tastes, it's very good, very flavorful. And I think, Carolyn, you had alluded to earlier that there's a lot going on here, though, mm-hmm. you know, because, I mean, we've got carrot puree. We've got the, is it feta?
Yep. Feta? Little feta, okay, little feta cheese.
The olives. We've got duck. There's a lot of wide variety. Mm-hmm. So, and this, to you, this would all go well with a French wine?
With this specific French wine.
Specifically,
yeah, specifically
for this one.
For this bottle.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why is that?
The sweet and the savory on the plate with the pomegranate mm-hmm. seeds, and then specifically pomegranate seeds and then the olives just play really well with the large side of this wine, which is the Gamay, and then the duck kind of with the Malbec, the duck kind of just finishes the dish off.
I thought it was great, too, because we have Thanksgiving coming up. And I think a lot of people want to have turkey, but some people want to venture off and have something else. And
exactly.
Certainly duck would be on the menu.
It could be. It could be.
Yeah.
And or this bottle would go well with turkey, with the dark meat.
Without a doubt.
You know,
yeah.
And it's light enough. A lot of people try to do white wines with their Thanksgiving dinner, and you don't need to. You can definitely go red.
Yeah. So another reason why I chose this wine is Cheverny is a part of a larger area called the Loire.
Okay.
And the Loire is actually the largest wine-growing region in France over Burgundy, Bordeaux, Rhone, and it's kind of under the radar. And it has probably the most variety and diversity of all of the areas in France. And so I think as an area, it is a great way to not only explore France, but to really match up your Thanksgiving meal, because in Loire, you have sparkling, rosé, white, red, sweet, and all of those different wines are within one region. Another thing that's happening right now is French wine has been imposed with a 25% tariff, and we haven't really realized that as consumers yet, but like anything that's on the water right now, you know, we're trying to figure it out and navigate this. You could potentially see a big jump in cost in French wine. And then coupled on top of that, this really, to me, competes with some Burgundies. You may or may not know, but Burgundy is generally pretty expensive. And so this is a great way to learn about French, learn about some of the Burgundian varietals, not Chardonnay, but certainly Gamay and Pinot Noir. You know, at generally a lot lower cost. And so it's like a win-win for this 2019 Thanksgiving. And we'll be tasting this wine tonight along with another really cool white wine from this producer and a couple different white wines. And like I said, because, you know, when you have Thanksgiving, just like in this dish, you've got a lot of things going on here. You've got like briny, salty olives. You've got sweet, crunchy, poppy pomegranates. You've got the saffron with the couscous. You've got like savory and then with a duck and then salty with a feta and sweet with a carrot.
Yeah.
Sure,
so
yeah.
Like you could do so many different things with this. And honestly, almost any wine out of the Loire would go with this dish. You know, Chenin Blanc,
oh, yeah.
Sparkling.
Yeah, Chenin Blanc, I forgot about that.
I mean, you could, you know, even have it with a little sweet. So it's an awesome pairing.
And I just want to comment because I've eaten duck before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've liked it, but it has tasted very greasy. This is moist, but this is not greasy.
Right, and the thing with that, too, is that it was cooked in its own fat. So
oh, wow.
If you think of it that way, and it's not greasy, that's kind of a fun way to eat. And a lot of people don't know that they like duck until they try this. A lot of times duck breast is served medium rare, and it turns mm-hmm. people off with the whole idea that it's a bird, and but you're still serving it medium rare. So duck leg and duck confit in particular is a good way to, it's kind of entry level for duck for people.
Okay, so then can you expand on, because I've had duck confit before.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the Culinary Institute of America.
Yeah.
I was in New York, and I went there and stuff like that. First time I'd ever heard of duck confit.
Okay.
Because I've just heard of duck. Okay, so can you elaborate on what is confit? What makes it confit?
Well, confit means to cook it. Cook undercover. So
okay.
you're cooking it in fat, which is covering the entire meat, as opposed to having any air. You can confit garlic, you can confit carrots, you can confit
okay.
potatoes. I love doing baby potatoes in oil and butter and garlic and rosemary.
Yeah. How
and
can just, you go just, wrong with go, that?
Right, where was that at today, Eric?
Right. Yeah, well, I was running a little behind, but no, yeah. It's okay. So confit, you can kind of confit anything. Duck is just a very common. That's a very common preparation, very French preparation for it.
Well, yeah, because it's really good. And like I said, I'm not a big meat eater, but I'm just impressed by the fact that yes,
it's tender and not oily. Yeah. Okay.
So had he brought this meal, you could have brought this wine, do you think, or another wine as well, or?
Yeah, I think I would have. This is ideal. I probably would have done some sort of French wine because it's more of a French preparation. And I, you know, what you wouldn't want with this dish is anything with too much tannin. You want acidity with this dish.
Yep.
You don't want tannin. You don't want oak. And that's another kind of rule. We try not to have any rules, you know, really at the store. I think I've mentioned this before, that if you want full-bodied Cabernet with your turkey, I'm going to give you full-bodied Cabernet.
I'm going to duck leg, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find the best one.
It wouldn't pair the best, but if that's what you like, then.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of people are like, I know what I like. This is what I want to drink. And they separate the two. If you're looking to pair, then that's one thing. But sometimes you're not really thinking of your meal as a pairing necessarily. You're kind of thinking of it in separate components, like what do I want to drink? What do I want to eat? But if you really want to pair something, then you have to, you kind of have to open up your mind and try new things. Exactly. And that's what, you know, I think is really fun, that people are definitely exploring more cultures, more foods, different wines. And so, you know, we almost open up, I don't even want to say a Pandora's box, because it's not really Pandora. It's just like this box.
Right.
It's like a treasure chest. It's a treasure chest of wines. So I think one of the things, like with Thanksgiving in general, is staying away from oak, staying away from tannin, and really a lot of alcohol. When you have Thanksgiving, you know, you have a lot of different components of your meals. A lot of times you have appetizers, and then you move on and you have salads, and then you have turkey, and you know, all of the sides, and then you have dessert. And if you're drinking this whole time, it can, you know, you don't necessarily feel so well at the end of the meal.
Right.
And if you're drinking 15% alcohol, mm-hmm. as opposed to this wine, which is 11.5%. So that's really, it's exponential. That's a big difference.
Absolutely,
in wine, in alcohol consumption. So this is going to really, you know, complement that meal and serve you better in the long run than, you know, a big Cabernet. I wanted to say Zinfandel, because Zinfandel can be a great grape to pair with Thanksgiving, and a lot of people think that Zinfandel, they associate Zinfandel with America.
All right.
Because it's you know, we have really old vine Zins in California. It was one of the original grapes planted there. But sometimes it can have a tendency to be really pushing the alcohol boundary of like 15-16%. So when you want to do a Zinfandel, you want to kind of dial that back, I think, and go with something, you know, maybe around 14%, even 13.5% if you can find it. Well, I hope that's not too confusing.
It's interesting, because the thing is, you know, I'm a dessert wine person. I love dessert wine. But my thing is, and I steer away from reds, but this is not as bitter as I'm normally used to tasting with red wines. And maybe that's just me or whatever, but I'm like, wow, it's not like sweet either, but it's not bitter, and doesn't make me go, I'm still drinking this. I'm continuing on, that's a rarity for me.
And that's the tannins. I mean, because this is very low on tannins, and that's kind of the bitter that you're talking about, I think, it's just a very, very good drinking, easy to drink wine.
Yeah, and what it offers is a lot of energy. And I think that's a reflection of the area as well. It's bright. And when we say acidity, I think that can also have a negative connotation, because nobody wants anything where they're just mouth puckering. I mean, you know, intrinsically, we really like sweet, even if people deny it, we like sweet, but you also kind of need to balance that out, because if you have too much sweet, especially with food pairing, then, and you don't have the acidity, there's no balance there. So, but this wine, I think, you know, it's just a real reflection. It's very small production. We don't see a ton of reds in the U.S., certainly of Pinot and Gamay. And this is all organically and biodynamically grown. There is nothing added to it. There's no yeast. There's very low sulfites.
Okay.
So it's really a reflection of the woman that actually makes the wine. Her name is Laura, and the estate she bought in 2006, and it's called Terra Laura. So it's, you know, and I think they live a pretty down-to-earth life.
Okay.
So, and that's what you're getting here, and I think that's what you kind of want when you're doing a food and wine pairing.
Okay, now Eric, back to you real quickly.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of seasoning or something on top of this duck?
Because on the duck itself, yeah.
Yes. What is that? Because I'm.
What specifically are you looking for?
Well, because I'm. It's good. It's good flavoring, and it tastes like a little smoky, but I'm tasting something too. Maybe a
what's
little
your
bit
taste,
of garlic.
What you're tasting? Probably there's a little bit of harissa, which is a Middle Eastern seasoning. It's okay. It's like a Middle Eastern paste, and there's a little bit of harissa on top of the couscous. I didn't tell you about it. Just added a little bit of heat.
Okay.
But yeah, generally duck confit has been cured first. So you put salt, sugar, and your herbs.
Okay.
And then you press it for 24 hours roughly, and then you clean that off, and then you cook it in its own fat.
And it's, okay.
So there's lots of flavor added to it before it ever gets cooked.
So if anyone is inspired by today, or even this wine, and wants to have the ultimate pairing, which this would go with like grilled vegetables and lighter fare, and it could even be chilled during the summer. But let's say for the person that wants to cook duck, I think that's a little intimidating for most home chefs. So where do we buy duck? And where do you?
So you know? I personally buy duck from Oliver's Meats on 6th in Denver. You can also, I believe Whole Foods carries duck confit and duck breast in there.
Probably a good butcher.
A good butcher, yeah, definitely a good butcher and or a higher-end grocery store.
Okay. And another part of there's two other things, actually, that I feel like people shy away from that are in this dish that really offer so much to a meal. One is saffron.
Saffron. And one of the most, I think it is the most expensive.
More expensive than gold, I believe.
I believe it is by the ounce,
I should say.
So it's the most expensive spice.
Kind of on par with truffles, maybe?
Kind of on par with truffles, but not unapproachable. It doesn't take very much saffron in a rice dish, a few threads, and it turns everything a brilliant yellow, as well as it's got an interesting flavor. It's kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not sweet, if that makes any sense. It's a flavor that you can't really describe or put your finger on, but when it's in there, you know that it's in there.
Right. Yeah, it's very distinctive, and certainly the color always gives it away. But and I think in paella, a lot of different rice dishes. I know I had a Swedish exchange student, and they made a baked good with saffron.
Yeah, like a roll. I've seen that before, and I can't remember the name of it. But then a lot of people will also try to substitute turmeric, and turmeric and saffron do not have the same flavor. They'll both turn stuff bright yellow, but they don't have the same flavor profile. And for a lot of years, some of the big spice companies, Schilling and a couple of the other ones, were calling turmeric powdered saffron, or in parentheses it would say powdered saffron, and it's not a saffron product.
Yeah, so you want to get the little there. It's from a flower, right?
It's from the crocus flower.
Yeah. And you get the little
pistils.
Thank you. That was from like ninth grade
yep.
biology.
Pistils from the pistils from the crocus flower.
And you just put a couple little threads.
Just a couple of the threads into your water or whatever it is that you want to flavor. And it a little goes a long way.
Okay. And something in this dish that reminded me of Thanksgiving and fall for sure. And you could use it in salads and meat. And I love it because like you bite into this tart little fruit and then it explodes in your mouth and it's sort of sweet is pomegranate. And you know, I think when you buy that plastic thing of pomegranate, it's not the same as a fresh pomegranate. So tell us about, I know there's a trick for getting the seeds out.
There's a couple different ways to get the seeds out.
Because that's the hard part, I think, with the pomegranate.
It is, and it takes time and your fingers are going to turn red because a lot of people will just smash the seeds by accident. The best way I know is to cut the end off, the flower end off in a square. If I can't, without showing you, it's kind of hard to describe. But when you pull that out, kind of like a cork on the top of a wine bottle, then it exposes the ribs. And if you run your knife down the ribs and peel them back, it peels, basically peels open, kind of like you're peeling an orange, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about? You peel it back into four sections or five sections because they grow.
Yeah. Yes.
The way that they grow, they grow with a pith in between the different sections. So when you peel that back, it leaves the pith still in the center, and then the seeds are exposed, and you can just tap them out with your fingers.
I have another way, and I haven't done it in a while, but you cut the pomegranate. You might even quarter it. I can't remember exactly. And then you put it in water, and then the pith floats. And then you skim that off, and then you strain out the seeds.
Interesting. And I have
so
not seen that.
I took a cooking class from a woman that wrote a series of cookbooks that were seasonal.
Okay.
And pomegranate salad was one of her big seasonal dishes.
Gotcha.
And I always love it. I think it's just, you know, it has the components of this wine. Like I actually, in my descriptor of this wine, wrote down pomegranate and cherry, and I love that when I can pair things specifically together.
That
like
was how
flavors.
That's how it was last night. My wife and I had a pomegranate in the fridge from a meal that I cooked this past weekend when my mother-in-law was in town, and both of our first sips, we opened it. My wife got home from work, and I had it in the refrigerator 15 minutes. That's what you guys told me to do.
Oh yeah.
So it was just a little bit chilled. Our first sip, both looked at each other and were like, "Got to use pomegranates."
Yeah. So that's kind of a fun trick, and you could probably look it up online. I'd have to look at my notes.
Yeah, I got
it. But
try
you
that.
Cut it, you put it in water, part of it floats, and then you siphon off the rest, and then you have everything. And, and it's really good addition to salads. I mean, certainly this rice dish.
Yep, rice,
probably
salad.
Some
meats. Yeah, you could, you know, you could use it with poultry. Pomegranate kind of goes with everything.
Yeah, and it's really good for you. A lot of antioxidants.
Yeah, a lot of
antioxidants. Yeah.
I mean, you could probably do them in like a butter and like a solid butter whipped in and then put that on a steak. I think it would lend you know, to the caramelization on like a ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a versatile fruit that people shy away from because, once again, they don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
They don't know how to like cut into it the internet.
Something
use
new
the
for
internet.
The day.
Yeah. Google makes me smart.
Google makes everybody smarter.
All right. So let me ask you this, going back to you and the catering and everything else. Okay. So I could call you, hey, 3 weeks from now. I'm sure you'd like to have a little bit more of a time frame, but you're used to, you know, working if you have to under pressure, so to speak. Okay. So if I call you, okay, I'm having a birthday party, you know, for grandma's turning 80. I'm having my birthday party. I want you guys to come, Chow Catering, to come and cater. Do I tell you what kind of foods I'm looking
yes.
for, or do you get creative and say, you know what, grandma's not a meat eater, but this person is? And
a little bit of both.
Okay.
Usually what we do is have a quick consultation, either on the phone or else I'd come to wherever the party's going to be, so I have an idea of what I'm working with. And then we would just talk about likes and dislikes, and then I would build a menu out for you to read and approve. But it all starts with likes and dislikes.
Okay, so and then so I could have something that would be or vegan or
exactly or a theme. You know, if you decided you wanted to do all Spanish, so we could do tapas, and I would suggest, you know, five different tapas to be passed, and then probably a paella, and then some sort of a dessert. So it just kind of depends on what the party is and really what you like to eat.
All right, and is there a size limit? I mean, what if I'm having 10 people? What if I'm having 250?
I do 1,000? two to 500 500 is kind of my
max.
Yeah, and then I got to start getting into. I do a lot of this myself.
Oh,
I do
okay.
90% of it myself.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
And then I hire service when I need it. So I don't have any employees. I can keep my costs down by not having a big payroll. And then I do, like I said, I do all the cooking, I do all the dishes, I do all the marketing. So it's a one man. And it's worked great for 10 years. I've done this for 10 years, and it's just grown exponentially over time, and it's been great.
So let's talk about Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving in terms of your meal? And then are you doing anything for clients for Thanksgiving?
I do. I have several orders. I have a lot of regular clientele that I've been cooking for many years. I do a lot of private chef services as well. So, yeah, I do full turkey dinners. I do sides. My personal turkey dinner this year is undecided because I don't know. I've got quite a few jobs leading up to Thanksgiving, and we don't know if we're going to stay in town. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We might, last minute, we might throw the dogs in the truck and go to Vail or mm-hmm. go to Aspen. I don't know yet.
Well, maybe you don't want to cook.
You know, that's it's really
Thanksgiving.
It's kind of funny because it's really hard for me to give that up, to be honest with you. Yeah. You know, we've hosted both families. My wife and I have had, you know, 15 people in the house, and I cook it all, and then everybody sits down to eat, and then I go sit out back and say, whew,
right,
that's done.
Hopefully somebody else cleans.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think there's a rule, if you cook, you don't clean.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
That's always the rule. Whoever. Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, well. And Eric won our
charity chili cook-off.
I did win the chili cook-off this year.
Okay, good. All right. So
I've been in 8 of 9 of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So I finally won this year. It was pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit about your recipe this year.
It was a last minute throw it together. I was almost going to back out, to be honest with you, because I had other jobs.
That.
Well, I had other jobs that came up that week, and I'm like, I just don't have time.
Yeah, we really appreciate it because it is hard for the chefs to commit, and it's a big commitment. But I know everybody has a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a great thing. So I went with a traditional Texas bowl of Texas red chili, just chilies and meat, and a little bit of tomatoes, and it just turned out fantastic. It was a lot of, oh, I've got some of this. Let's throw some of this in there. I've got a bunch of tenderloin. Some tenderloin in there. Oh, I've got some brisket. Let's throw some brisket in there. And I think that maybe the overthinking that a lot of us put into it.
Yes.
That, I mean, there's 30 other restaurants there, and we all try to outdo each other, and that's the whole idea of it. And we come up with crazy different, like last year's chili that I did was a Asian street chili, and it had like flavors of Chinese five spice and coriander and cloves, and it was a really good chili, but it didn't win. And I think just not overthinking it kind of is what, and last minute, you know, is what kind of helped me win.
Well, thank you for participating.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
And congratulations on the win. Yeah.
And I think next year I might want to judge. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm listening to this and I'm like, oh, you know what? I've got my holiday parties. I'm assuming, you know, because Thanksgiving is next week.
Yep.
And then we're going into Christmas,
yep.
New Year's Eve. I want to have a nice New Year's Eve party.
Exactly.
How do I reach Chow? I saw the pictures on the website. How do I reach Chow?
I've got, so my website itself is chowcolorado.com.
Okay.
And you can also get a hold of me at info@chowcolorado.com.
Great.
And December is almost full, mm-hmm. so if you do want to book something, get a hold of me now. I've got about 3 dates left in December. So,
yeah, and this is great for a holiday party, and then you can, like I said, you know, you can adjust to whatever. So we've got
exactly.
chili talking here. We've got duck. I can absolutely cook.
I can cook the gamut.
Great. And Carolyn, you mentioned earlier, so tonight this wine will be, people can come in to your location and they can go ahead and get a sampling, do a tasting. Is that
correct? We're going to have this wine. We're going to have another wine from Terra Laura, and it's Roma Rontan. It's a grapes specific to this area. It's really delicious. I've not had it prior to this. It would also be great for Thanksgiving. At least one, if not two, other Loire Valley wines. So, you know, definitely come in and explore this area. We have a lot of different grapes from here. And probably the best known one that people, if they need like a jog of their memory, it would be Sancerre, because Sauvignon Blanc right now is very popular. And so that's a more popular area, region of this particular area. But yeah, come on in. And of course, we've got, you know, 1,100 other wines to help you with your Thanksgiving choices.
You won't run out of options if you walk into Carolyn's Joy Wine and Spirits. So, well, Eric, Carolyn, thank you both so much for coming, and have a great Thanksgiving. And to our listeners, thank you so much every day, every year for tuning in to KUVO. We appreciate you all. 1, 2, 3.